Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locking in for episode 142 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder. Subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page also, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Let's get into this Thursday episode right now. The Thunder played Cleveland on Thursday night. I'm recording this pretty late Wednesday night, but I'm still unsure of what LeBron James' status is going to be on Thursday night. Cleveland's playing on the second night of a back-to-back. They played in Indiana on Wednesday. They waxed Indiana, put up 132 points in that game in Indiana on Wednesday, and they're traveling to... They're probably either on a plane right now or close to getting on a plane to come to Oklahoma City right now. Coach Tyronn Lue said before the game that LeBron was going to sit on Thursday night if his minutes approached the high 30s into the 40s or something like that against the Pacers. And he played 38 minutes in that blowout win. They outscored him 40-18 in the third quarter. He played 38 minutes in that game. So I don't know if he's going to play or not, but that is something that counts as in the high 30s. So there is a possibility that on the second night of a back-to-back on the road, LeBron heads back to Cleveland, doesn't even travel. The Cavs have done that before, where they've, you know, they've had a game in Memphis earlier this year. LeBron James and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving didn't even make the trip out to Tennessee. They stayed at home in Cleveland. And, you know, I don't know if LeBron would come and he would sit, or if he would go home or whatever it would be. But there is obviously a decent chance that LeBron's not going to end up playing in this game. Look, it would obviously help the Thunder a lot if he didn't play. We're talking about the best player in the world. Best player I've ever seen in my lifetime, because I only really got the tail end of Jordan once I started watching basketball. Like, I really started watching basketball in like 1998. So I only got the tail end of Jordan. So the best player I've ever seen in my lifetime is LeBron James. Not going to get to see him. Honestly, as a basketball fan, I'm a little upset. I've never had a problem with teams sitting their guys. I've always thought that the rest is a problem with the league. It's not a problem with the individuals. And if it's a legal thing that teams can do, they have no obligation to their... I don't think teams even have an obligation to their own fan base, let alone road fan bases. I know people disagree with me on this, and I understand the disagreements, if only because you go out, you spend $200 on tickets to go see LeBron James play, and then LeBron James doesn't play, you feel gypped. And I understand that. I mean, it makes perfect sense. But at the same time, when people direct their anger towards LeBron, they direct their anger towards the organization, I don't think that's the right place to put it. I think that's counterproductive. Because if they exhaust LeBron James and he's too tired come the end to come back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals, like, that's on them. Now, I don't think they necessarily have an obligation to the Oklahoma City fan, even if the Oklahoma City fan is paying premium prices so they can go see LeBron. I don't think the Spurs have that so that people are paying premium prices so they can see Kawhi. Like, I don't think the Spurs have that obligation. I think this is something from the league. Now, I'm not necessarily for a shorter season, just because I don't like the... I like the way that the numbers work, and I like that someone could pass Kareem on the all-time scoring list. And if you play a 65-game season, that's not going to happen. No one's going to pass Kareem or Jordan or any of these numbers, and you have to start weighing numbers differently and seasons differently. And let's be real, it's not going to happen anyway from a revenue perspective with this new TV deal, especially that's going now, and the amount of money that's flowing around the league. They're not going to take a shorter season. But I've never had a problem with the rest stuff. Anyway, about the actual game. LeBron not playing. If he does not play, I should say, because I don't know if he's going to play or not. But if LeBron doesn't play, the Thunder can feel a lot more comfortable just putting Andre Robertson on Kyrie Irving for the whole game. You only have to worry about really two dominant offensive players in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. Now, Kevin Love didn't play the last time they played, when they played in Cleveland. Cleveland won that game by 17 points. 16 points, 107 to 91. I forgot how to do math for a second. Cleveland won that game by 16 points. Kevin Love played, I think, 8 minutes in that game. He got hurt. He's back now. He played on Wednesday night. Kyrie Irving's playing great. Hit essentially a game winner against go-ahead shot late against Washington the other night from the exact same spot. He had that game seven winner against the Warriors in the finals. But the Thunder, anything that enables them to just put Andre Roberson on a solely great perimeter defender, or perimeter offensive player, makes their defense so much better. When you've got two great perimeter offensive players, it hurts them a lot. If they can concentrate Roberson, though, on one guy instead of switching him around, their defense always looks so much better than that. That's kind of an obvious point, I guess. Like, teams are going to be better if they've got two great perimeter players as opposed to one. But I think against the Thunder specifically, it actually makes an even greater difference than it does in your average team. Because even though I think Oladipo's a pretty good, he's having a really good on-ball defensive season, I think. And lately, the last like 2 or 3 weeks or so, I think he's been playing really, really good on-ball defense. He's been really impressive in that aspect, especially the last 2, 3 weeks, maybe even month or so, maybe since he came back from the wrist injury. He's been real good in that aspect. But Andre Roberson's like all-defense good. The disparity between him and somebody else, it's not like there's a Kawhi and a Danny Green on this team where you can just they're somewhat interchangeable to a degree. Where Kawhi's great, but you take him out and Danny Green is still fantastic. There's nobody on Andre Roberson's level defensively, and I think if you can put him on Kyrie a whole game, it's just massive. And then you add in the fact that it's a team that's missing LeBron, and it's even better. Gotta watch out for Tristan Thompson. He was so good the last time they played. He's an incredibly underrated player. Amazingly underrated player. He's such a good defensive player. He killed him on the boards, especially in the fourth quarter. He was just unbelievable defensively the last time they played. He's a really good pick-and-roll defender. He blows up pick-and-rolls left and right. And he was so good defending the rim. He was so good deterring Russell Westbrook shots, especially in the fourth quarter. Rotating and help, having the exact timing. Not only deterring Russell Westbrook shots, but like Westbrook would dump off to Adams because Tristan Thompson would impede his path to the lane. Then Thompson would recover back onto Adams in time to give Adams a tough shot at the basket. Turn these layups into really, really difficult shots. I thought he played great. I thought he played fantastic. And Cleveland really packed the paint against the Thunder. And that's a strategy pretty much every team uses, because that's just going to happen against Russell Westbrook, considering this is a team that's 29th in three-point percentage right now, barely ahead of the Bulls. And Russell Westbrook is so good in the lane. He's so good once he gets into the paint. And he's so explosive. Teams are always going to collapse in on them. It's just always what's going to happen. That's not changing. But Cleveland did it to an exaggerated degree. When you have a guy like playing the way that Tristan Thompson was playing, especially in the third and fourth quarters of that game, it's just tough to score. It is really tough to score. But, you know, if Cleveland doesn't have LeBron, that's a big difference. This is not the same team. If Cleveland doesn't have LeBron, and it's a team that has struggled in 2017. It hasn't been great in 2017. I saw a tweet yesterday that had the Eastern Conference standings in the new year. And Cleveland only has, at least coming into Wednesday, Cleveland had the seventh best record in the Eastern Conference since the new year. So over 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks, Cleveland's only got the seventh best record. So they're struggling. They're struggling a little bit defensively. But obviously, defending champs, hardly an easy game. Twitter questions. First one from JTizzle35. Let's start it off with Warriors talk, because it's so weird that this Cleveland game is kind of an afterthought, right? Like, it's just totally out of everybody's mind. Is anybody even thinking, like, the defending champs are coming to town? Everyone is just looking ahead to the Warriors on Saturday. Everybody. It's amazing that Cleveland coming to Oklahoma City, like, in principle, LeBron James coming to town, is just a thing that people are just kind of brushing off. And, like, how could they not? How could anybody not do that? I'm doing the same thing. So let's do some Warriors talk. From JTizzle35, this is his very, very non-biased question. What do you think of KD's dumb comments about, quote, OKC media skewing his quote? So in case you missed it, Kevin Durant did a sit-down with ESPN, and he talked about returning to Oklahoma City, and that was with Mark Stein at ESPN. And he talked about the upcoming returning game to Oklahoma City and the drama with Russell Westbrook and the drama upon the return and that kind of stuff. And I don't think the comment was dumb, to be honest. But in case you didn't hear it, I'm going to splice in the sound right now. This is Kevin Durant talking to Mark Stein at ESPN. This was released, when was it? Late Tuesday night.
last month you were quoted in USA Today as saying that the perceived tension between you and Russell Westbrook and your old team, the word you used was fake drama. What leads you to kind of compartmentalize it that way and look at it that way?
I realized that early on in the season, I was doing an interview with someone, and I used the word unselfish describing my teammates here, the Warriors. And someone asked Russell a question, asked if he heard what I said about being unselfish, and he phrased the question as if I was saying the Thunder and their organization and the team was selfish. And once I heard that, I was like, well, they're trying to get in between this thing and make it bigger than what it is. You know, obviously Russell wasn't going to hear that interview I had about me just talking about my teammates I have now. And, you know, someone in Oklahoma City phrases to him as if I was calling them selfish. So, you know, is that easy? Is that easy for the media to twist something up and for the media to, make a feud between us?
So the first thing I'll acknowledge is that Durant is wrong. And that's what Jay Tizzle is getting at, I assume. Durant is wrong. That question was asked, when was it? October, I think, by Eric Horn at the Oklahoman. And Eric literally read the entire Durant passage verbatim, like had it written out, to the point that we actually teased him after about having the entire thing written out and him reading this long block quote to Russell Westbrook. There was nothing given out of context. There was nothing misleading. It was, here's what Kevin Durant said. What do you think? And that was the whole thing. So there really wasn't anything misleading. There wasn't anything nagging. Now, that being said, my guess is that Kevin Durant just saw Russell Westbrook's reaction, didn't necessarily study the question. And I think he probably made an assumption based on the reaction from Westbrook. Now, the reason I say I don't think it's dumb or stupid or I don't blame him for thinking it, because I think a lot of media, now I don't think this is true for local media, and maybe I think we've got good beat writers. I barely touch this Durant stuff. I like try not to talk about it. The only time I talk about this stuff is when he or Russell says something. I don't ask them this stuff for the most part. When he or Russell says something, I have to talk about it because it's news when they say something. But it's not news before they say something. It's not news to get them to say something. It's news when they do say something. And so I don't really ask about it, to be honest. First of all, I'm a little bored by it. Second of all, I'm a little bit old school in my approach to media, in that I think something, one way the media has really changed in the last, I don't know, fill in the blank years, is that I think the media is supposed to set the agenda for the public. And I think in a lot of ways now, and this is not just sports, the public sets the agenda for the media. And that's a thing that's obviously a large talking point in media, you know. People want to get clicks, right? That's not always wrong. And there are certain things that you can do and you can absolutely justify by saying people want to hear about this, people want to read about this, people want to see this. Let's do something on it. There's a reason people want to see this. Let's do something on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But there are absolutely some people out there in my profession who play up the drama. And I understand how Kevin Durant could find that frustrating. And I understand how Russell Westbrook could find that frustrating. Even if they're on two opposite sides of the drama. And even if the drama is there. Part of the reason I don't play it up is because I don't care if they get along. Not because I don't care about either of them as people. It doesn't really make a difference in any of our lives if those two guys get along or not. And I know in like a celebrity culture, it's a thing that we care about and we follow. And, you know, part of it was that they were billed as close friends, and now that relationship is deteriorated to whatever degree it's deteriorated. But it doesn't make much of a difference to me. And I understand, and I think that's kind of the environment that Durant wants, to where he doesn't think the public should care about that. And that is a thing that I understand. Now, what he said didn't offend me. As a member of the OKC media, what he said did not offend me or upset me. If he called out Eric and was just wrong in what he said, because he was incorrect. But being wrong is not like it's not like he was morally wrong, he was just factually incorrect. If he had called out Eric or something like that, that would have pissed me off. That would have upset me. Because that would have seemed like an aggressive comment. To me, it was offhand. It was offhand, and I don't expect him to study my profession. That's not his job, so I don't mind that stuff. And the people who do stir up drama in this profession, to some degree, they upset me too. I just don't think those are people we have locally. I think Royce, I think the people at the Oklahoman, Brett and Eric, all the way, you know, even like Barry Trammell and you know, the rest of that crew, I think they all do a great job. I think we have a really good crew here. I think we have a really reasonable crew that provides fair coverage, that can be tough when we need to, that can be positive when we need to. I think we have a good crew. I think we're in some ways defying the homerist Oklahoma City media stereotype to some degree. I think we've done a good job with that this year. And I can only speak to this year because this is only my first full season on the beat. But that's really my reaction when I heard it. I know a lot of Thunder fans just kind of want to take the anti-Durant standpoint. And I get that. I totally get it. Look, I approach basketball differently than I approach any other sport that I follow. I'm so emotionless with the way that I look at basketball. But I'm not with baseball. Like, I still look at... I'm a Yankees fan. I'm a lifelong Yankees fan. I grew up obsessed with the Yankees. And guess what? I'm still obsessed with the Yankees. And I still look at Curt Schilling and I'm like, man, I hate that guy. And it's sports hate, you know? Although with Curt Schilling, maybe it's not just sports hate. But even when I was, you know, 14 years old and Curt Schilling was there, before I quite knew exactly that it wasn't just sports hate. There's some guys you look at and you're like, man, I hate that guy. I still like have this disdain, and I say sports disdain because it's different than real disdain, but I still have this sports disdain for Carl Everett because he broke up a Mike Mussina perfect game with two outs in the ninth inning in September of 2001. He had two strikes on him, and Carl Everett just popped this illegitimate bloop single into left field to break up a perfect game with two strikes and two outs in Fenway Park. And I still have this sports disdain for Carl Everett. So you bet I understand the way that Oklahoma City fans feel towards Kevin Durant. But it's like what I talked about before with the way that I think the media is supposed to set the agenda for the public and not the other way around. So I try to stay away from that stuff. I shouldn't say I try to because it's honestly not that hard for me. I just approach, look, a great player coming back and playing against his former team is always a story. There's no question about that. But I really think my job, and the way that I honestly do think about it and approach it, I don't have to try hard to do it. This is just the way I do it. My job is just to gather the information, maybe do some analysis, maybe add some numbers, maybe add some anecdotes, get some quotes, talk to people who are in the know, talk to people who know more than me, and then put together a story that I can present to the public. And that's my job. And it's to really leave the emotion out of it. It's not always necessarily leave the opinion, but I do think it's important for someone like me to leave the emotion out of it. And it's easy for me because I'm not a fan. So it's easy to me. It wouldn't be easy for me to do with the Jets. With the Jets, I'm a Jets fan. And I want to throw something against the wall every time I watch them. There's no NBA team in which I have any sort of emotional reaction to. So it's, I hear that quote and I think something completely differently than the rest of the fan base. One more question, because I got 90 of these questions on the same topic when I tweeted out asking for questions tonight. And I think it was unbelievable. So here are some of them. First one from Quavo. Can OKC sign Charles Oakley on a 10-day deal? Next one from Christopher Brown. Is Charles Oakley the most awesome power forward ever, or are you wrong? And one more just for the heck of it. From Oklahoma Forever. Chances we sign Charles Oakley to the vet minimum deal. Charles Oakley went after an NBA owner on Wednesday night in an actual game. Former Knick Charles Oakley, sitting like eight rows behind the basket, was jawing with Knicks owner James Dolan and got ejected from the game. And then I got a million tweets about it. Apparently got arrested after the game. That was reports. I have no idea on what charges. But he did shove a couple security guards and then had like a bunch of them pull him out of the game. That was... And the Knicks put out a feisty PR statement on it. Here's what the Knicks said. This is their official statement. Charles Oakley came to the game tonight and behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. He's been ejected and is currently being arrested by the New York City Police Department. He was a great Knick, and we hope he gets some help soon. What is going on with the Knicks? What is going on with the Knicks? I'm just leaving it at the question. What is going on with the Knicks? On that note, enjoy the game tonight. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. Remember, I said this on a couple podcasts earlier this week. No podcasts following the Cleveland game. There is a fifth podcast this week, but I'm going to put a podcast up Friday in the middle of the day, maybe near the end of the day. That's going to go up. It's just going to be a big Warriors preview. I'll talk about the Cleveland game a little bit, depending on what happens on Thursday night. You know, whatever happens Thursday night, we'll decide exactly how much. I actually talk about the Cleveland game there, but it's really just going to be big-time Warriors preview. I'll do a really long podcast going through everything, KD, Warriors, all that stuff. So you do get your Warriors fix, and that'll be up sometime Friday, so you can listen to it Friday later in the day or night or Saturday as we go into the game. So that obviously is a big one, and you'll get your content. And there'll be lots of Warriors Thunder content as well, Norman transcript throughout the week. Already have some stuff up now, so you'll be able to get all that. So it's going to be about a 36-hour break for the next one. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
Fashion hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.